Good morning, I'm Mary Beth Marsden, and this is Know Your Health from LifeBridge Health, where each week we bring you important health information. This week we're talking with Dr. Jason Fixler, pediatric hematologist-oncologist at the Herman and Walter Samuelson Children's Hospital at Sinai, and we're here to talk about the risks of childhood cancer. Dr. Fixler, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This is such a scary word for parents. Anytime you hear, I mean, cancer's frightening for anyone, but I think when it's involving your child, it's a nightmare. So let's just talk about warning signs that maybe parents should be aware of and what might be their first clue that something's going on with their child. I guess it depends on the cancer, too.
Yeah, I mean, warning signs, it's like a lot of other problems, just typical flu symptoms. And so I'm not saying to get upset when your child has flu symptoms, but there's stuff that go on for a long period of time. People can be tired because of anemia. It could be weight loss. It's not easily detectable. I mean, people can have masses, and that becomes obvious. One of the biggest keys is your general pediatrician. They're better at the eyes, and if you see a problem, that's really the ones that can tell.
That's where you start.
Yeah.
What are the most common types of childhood cancer?
Leukemia is the most common type. Brain cancers are very common. And then lesser ones are something like neuroblastoma. It changes as you get older. As people get older, adolescents, you start seeing more bone tumors.
Are you finding changes in the population that you're seeing? Like, are you starting to see more of one kind of cancer than you used to, or it's pretty steady?
It's pretty steady. I know people talk about cancer clusters all the time, and my neighbor had cancer, but those usually do not pan out.
How important is the role of genetics?
In pediatric cancers, probably not as much as an older, although we don't have a full understanding of genetics. There are some genetic abnormalities that cause an increase in cancers. So if, you know, multiple women in the family had breast cancer and you hear about osteosarcoma, then we can start linking. There's something called Li-Fraumeni. But most of the pediatric cancers, we have no idea why they happen.
So there's no way to determine a common cause. I mean, there are no... You know,
yeah,
with adults, you can talk about smoking or all these other kinds of things that can be contributing factors. But with children, it's different, it sounds like.
Yeah, so there have been multiple studies. There was a big study in Berkeley that looked at, people are worried about power lines, phones, and they looked at all of these things.
Chemicals in what we eat.
Yes, and they haven't found, obviously, a healthy diet. Secondary smoke is a bad thing. So if the parents can stop smoking, that would be good. But yeah, we really don't have a pinpoint reason for kids.
So if a parent came to you, let's say I met you somewhere at a party and I was like, is there anything I can do to prevent my child from getting cancer? Would you say stop smoking in the house would be the first thing?
Yeah, I mean, that would prevent a lot of things, yes.
Anything else come to mind, or anything that's being studied that hasn't been proven yet?
No, I mean, I would just say healthy eating and living, fruits, vegetables, those. I mean, healthier people, you're probably less apt to get cancer.
Let's talk about the treatment, which is so important, and not only just the medical treatment, but the treatment of the whole family when this happens. And I know this is probably, to ask you a broad question, it's going to depend on the type of cancer and the age of the child, I'm sure. But can you talk in sort of general terms about treatment plans and just the protocol when your child is diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, so, you know, we sit down, obviously, with the family going over what to expect, although you can't really get a gauge until you're going through it. I would say most families at the end were like, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Some are outpatient, you know, chemotherapy where you're in the clinic, and some are in the hospital.
I guess that's sort of the beauty of the Herman and Walter Samuelson Children's Hospital is that they can sort of tailor all of this to the child and to the parents.
Yeah, we have an outpatient setting where you know people can come in and they're there for 30 minutes or a couple hours and they can go home. And other ones, you go into the actual children's hospital and you get treated for from days to weeks.
Is it important to you? I know that you're the doctor and you're kind of focused on the treatment and all of that, but is it also important to sort of take the scare out of it, the unknown out of it? Is it important to make sure that the family is really comfortable with what's happening?
Yeah, and I think they get more and more comfortable as the treatment goes along. They get comfortable with the surroundings. They kind of know what to expect. And I think that's helpful for both the family and the child.
Dr. Fixler, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Appreciate all you do. If you'd like to make an appointment with a LifeBridge Health pediatric specialist near you, call 410-601-WELL. That's 410-601-WELL. Or visit lifebridgehealth.org/children. I'm Mary Beth Marsden. Thanks for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.